And I was thinking about the stars this week, and I was wondering if I could imagine just how beautiful the stars are and just how good they are if God made them. So I closed my eyes. Now, I don't know if you've noticed in Chicago, in the city, it's very hard to see the stars when you look up. You can see them a little? Yeah. It's what they call light pollution. The stars are very hard to see unless it's very dark out. And with all the street lights and things, it's pretty hard to see the stars. But when you're in the woods or in the countryside, or in the desert. Exactly. Have you seen the stars in the desert? No. It's in Indiana, yeah. Places like that where we can see the stars better. And I was trying to remember what the stars looked like because I have such a hard time seeing them in the city. And so I went on the internet and I looked for stars and I saw this picture, which is a picture of what's called a starry night. Now, do you think that's what stars look like? Sorta, huh? Yeah, I mean, when I look at the sky at night, I don't see all that swirliness. I see like little teeny stars, but in that picture, the stars are so big and so bright. Maybe he had special eyes so that he could see the stars in a way I can't. Or maybe what he did was use his imagination to think about, if God made the stars, how beautiful might they be? Does that make sense? Do you ever draw pictures of things using your imagination? Do they look like the things that they're supposed to look like? They look a little different, don't they? Because it's not just a picture of your mom or your dad or your dog, or I used to draw dragons when I was a little kid. And there's no such thing as a dragon in real life, but I could still draw them in my imagination. And I sometimes think that's how God made the world, is by God's imagination. God made imagination, did imagination to decide how to make the world as beautiful as God could. And then we draw pictures of it to try to show how beautiful we think it is. So maybe this guy is trying to draw a picture using his imagination to show how beautiful the world is when God imagines it. Is that what you try to do when you're drawing your pictures? Use your imagination to show things as special as they can? What are your favorite things to draw pictures of? For me, it was dragons. You like drawing dragons? Cool. Are your dragons nice or are they scary? They're scary, yeah. Yeah, I had drew some nice dragons, but then I drew scary dragons mostly. What else do you like to draw pictures of? How many of you like to draw pictures of your pets? Anyone draw pictures of your pets? You don't have any pets? Do you draw pictures of your family members? Sometimes. I wonder if you could draw pictures of stars. Did you all get a bulletin? What does this look like? Yeah, this is the same as that, except we left the color out, so you can use crayons to color it in yourself. Maybe that would be a fun thing to do this week. Take one of the bulletins home with you and use your imaginations to draw the stars the way maybe God imagines them. Let's get ready to pray. God, we thank you for our imaginations. We thank you that you've given us the, that you help us to be able to see things in different ways and in more beautiful ways so that we can help make the world a better place and help show people how much we love them with our imaginations. And we thank you for imagining this beautiful world for us to live in. Amen. Now it's time for Sunday school.
There has been a change to the scripture from the scripture that is printed in your bulletin. We will no longer be reading the Acts passage. We are reading instead from Psalm 8, which is located on page 427 in the Bible in your pew, if you'd like to follow along. Please listen for a word from God. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Adiada do Pamasata Ur Palo. Do you guanamuko Nisimusina Atama La do Sao Pole Napalo Napalo do Waganola Nakahino Nagathino Toki Olo Do Paganopola no Soko Oni. Me menule napalo o budo agadiso do kulu tapani do duku akola lu la tag hukunyo do tala kapalo ne dipe ole nisi atama napalo takele mili saboko pole palakla tholio Lemuk polo, da diwunyao le, palepu, peda, ta le ale, ta le pale, akleta panilo. Juabog sae, nimi le hako, da binya, miyagisiro le.
Starry, starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hill, scats of trees and daffodils. Catch a breeze and winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. And now I understand what you tried to say to me. How you suffered for your sanity. How you tried to set them free. They would not listen. They did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night. Flaming flowers that brightly blaze. Swirling clouds and violet haze. Reflecting Vincent's eyes of China blue. Colors changing hues. Morning fields of amber grain. Weathered faces lined in pain. Are soothed beneath the artist's loving hand. And now I understand what you tried to say to me. How you suffered for your sanity. How you tried to set them free. They did not listen. They're not listening now. Perhaps they don't know how. For they could not love you. But still your love was true. And when no hope was left inside on that starry, starry night, you took your life as lovers often do. But I could have told you, Vincent, this world was never meant for one as beautiful as you. Starry, starry night. Portraits hung in empty halls. Frameless heads and endless walls. With eyes that watch the world and can forget. Like the stranger that you met. The ragged man in ragged clothes. The silver thorn, the bloody rose. Lie crushed and broken on the virgin snow. And now I think I know what you tried to say to me. How you suffered for your sanity. How you tried to set them free. They would not listen. They're not listening still. Perhaps they never will. They're busy singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drew my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Those good old boys drinking whiskey and rye. Singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I
die. Watching, there's a little clip of a movie I'm going to show you. So if you're having a hard time seeing, it's a very visual movie. You might want to move forward as the sermon goes on. Please join me in prayer. Amen. As you know, I was in Portland, Oregon for a couple of weeks ago at the ABC USA Biennial Garden. And biennial convention. I've already skipped forward. While I was there, I went to see the Japanese gardens in Portland. I'd never been to Portland. What a beautiful city it is. And these Japanese gardens that they have are incredible, are stunning. And Portland is like Seattle, sort of made up of a temperate rainforest. And on the side of these giant hills, not quite mountains, but giant hills out of this rainforest, they've kind of carved out this valley end that they've turned into this amazing garden. Acres and acres and acres, probably 15 or 20 different gardens within this garden. And they've reproduced the castle wall of a shogun's castle. And they've reproduced a little grove of bonsai trees in one of the gardens. And a grand marching grounds. And just incredible, and all these beautiful Japanese style buildings. As I was wandering through the gardens, I ran across this one garden that was concentrated and intimate. It was like little rooms of woods, little copses that had been built in with moss and benches. Nothing moved in a straight line. Everything was around a corner and a place to sit and think. It was called the Natural Garden. And I've wondered about that, because I have to tell you that it was one of the most unnatural gardens I'd ever seen in one way, because it was so precise, so artificial in its way, so sculpted, not at all fussy, but exact. Like you know, in the basement of the Art Institute, there's these little miniature rooms. It's like someone had made a miniature room of the Garden of Eden, and I got to sit in it and meditate and contemplate. I looked in the brochure to see why they would call this the Natural Garden. And what they said in the write-up was very helpful for me. They said, "The Natural Garden is the most immersive of all of our gardens. Hidden benches and waiting areas provide spaces to rest and reflect while being surrounded by nature in its idealized form." And I paused on that phrase, nature in its idealized form. This idea that when we see nature, it's too much. We can't see the height of the stars. We can't see the depth of the oceans. We cannot contemplate, wrap our heads around the breadth of the mountains. And so to have someone come along and create a recreation, a replication of nature in its idealized form, allows us to experience it, to understand it, to immerse ourselves in it. And then the Natural Garden made all the sense in the world to me. And I thought about it, I realized that this is a real specialty for Japanese art. You think about what a bonsai tree is, or what the paintings, the landscapes, very natural subjects, but incredibly artificial, incredibly idealized and crafted. And that in turn reminded me of this movie I'm going to show you a clip of, one of my very favorite movies by the Japanese filmmaker Akira Kurosawa, a movie called Dreams. Now in this movie, he literally filmed segments of dreams that he had, and they're focused on incredibly natural topics, a group of foxes in the woods, peach orchard where he grew up, Mount Fuji, which dominates the skyline, or in this case, well, I'll get to that in a minute. But he does it in such a artistic way. It's not just a group of foxes in the forest, but it's the wedding procession of the foxes. It's not just a peach tree orchard, but it's the gods of the peach tree orchard dancing and discussing with each other. Nature in its idealized form. So I'm going to show you this clip from this movie. Now it's a little bit of a ricochet, because the movie's a Japanese movie, but it's actually filmed in English, this one scene, because he wanted to use the film director, Martin Scorsese, as his actor, and Martin Scorsese doesn't speak Japanese. The first part of this segment is actually in French, because it's a story about Vincent van Gogh, But there are subtitles for the French, and it's pretty incidental to the story. Once we get to the meat of it, it's in English. So let me just show this to you. So it says, Another Dreams, and it's called Crows.
Take the time and cost all nature has to be. When I
We'll finish this section in a minute, but I want to just point out a couple of things. To me, this scene is beyond belief, he says. A scene that looks like painting does not make a painting. If you look closely at it, all of nature has its own beauty. That's part of the invitation I want to offer to us today. And I want to do it by means of three scriptural touch points. You already heard me mention one of them to the children. And God saw everything that God had made, and indeed, it was very good, the beginning of Genesis. We can never forget this, that all the world is good, that all the world is beautiful. If we look closely, all of nature has its beauty. And of all of its things, all of its creatures are beautiful. And in fact, beauty was God's purpose in creation, so that God would have something more to appreciate, and so that God would have someone to appreciate it with. You've heard it said that we're co-creators with God of the world. And this is in the deepest sense that we're co-creators of God with God in the world, in the sense that we too have imagination, as God did, giving us a small fragment of God's capacity to see something new and something different and something more beautiful than what is before us. That's what's happening when we come up with idealized nature in our human art, is the using our imaginations to express again what God has already imagined and what God has already given us. So the first fragment of scripture I want to offer to you, Genesis 1, and God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. The second fragment is the one that Madison read for us, Psalm 8. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, and the stars that you have established, what are we, human beings, that you are mindful of us? And yet you've made us a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned us, too, with glory and honor. God created us to be so close to God, to have this capacity for imagination that is the divine power. in our capacities to know what is beautiful and to create beauty. And so we too are created to create just a little lower than the angels. And to look at how that starts. When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, we too have been given the power to look at the heavens and to bring our imaginations to bear on them. That we see it too. What God had in mind when God created the beauty of the world, we see it too. We recognize it as God's. And the third fragment of Scripture comes from the Gospel of John. At the very beginning of the Gospel of John, the author writes, "No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has revealed him." God has made all of this beauty in the world, but God herself remains invisible. And yet God is revealed to us through the creatures that God has made. First, through Jesus Christ, if we're followers of Jesus Christ. If we're Christians, we see God's plan, God's call to our lives revealed in Jesus. But Jesus came in earthly form, partly to show us that we can see God everywhere in the earth, everywhere in things that are in earthly form. Jesus is the Word in John, the revelation of all of creation, not just the revelation of God. And so when we look at Jesus and his teachings, we learn to see all things in God and God in all things. We learn to see God in all people. And when that natural beauty is there, as he says, we lose ourselves in it. So when we look at the world, we have three duties, I guess I want to call them. One is to see what God has made and what God has called beautiful. And we may not call it ugly. And the second is to learn to see it the way God sees it, as beloved, as those who are just a little lower than the angels might be able to see it. And finally, we have the duty to learn to see God himself in it. In God's handiwork, we learn to see God in God's world. The job of art is to make that just a little bit easier. Like in that Japanese garden, we can't see all of creation. It's too overwhelming. But when a master gardener, a human, puts into human scale what the master gardener has created, we can see God more clearly. Maybe that was the idea. I don't know if you noticed, there's kind of a moment of dark humor, a bit of a sick joke in this clip. I was painting, what happened to your ear? I was painting a self-portrait, and I couldn't get the ear right, that is in the self-portrait, so I cut it off and threw it out. We can't make sense of the world, I think he's saying, until we can express it. Artists are required to show us exactly what they're seeing, but it changes us. The process of expressing the beauty we've been given to express changes us too. Let's watch the end of this section. I said, so when we look at the world, we see what God has made and called good and beautiful, and we begin to imagine ourselves moving into it. And we learn to see it the way God sees it, as beloved like those just a little bit lower than the angels. And really, we learn to see God in that beautiful world, in God's handiwork. And the job of everything we do, everything we create, everything we express, everything we put out into the world is to help us experience and to help each other experience the world in this way. But like this movie shows, that might be putting it mildly. And maybe there's really a fourth duty, too. Because we aren't just passive bystanders, right? We don't just get to sit by the sideline and say, gee, that's beautiful. Gee, I'm grateful for this Japanese garden that helps me to appreciate God and God's world and my place in it. No. When we experience the creative, loving power of God at work, in the world, in our lives, we are compelled to respond. When we see the mountains, we are compelled to imagine our place in them. That's how that garden gets built. When we understand the beauty of the stars, because we've been forced to finally recognize them, maybe by a painting like Starry Night, how can we not venture skyward in our hearts? The sun, he says, it compels me to paint. The world compels us to engage and to express and to contribute and to add. I am compelled to give back beauty for the beauty that God has given me. We are compelled to give back love for the love that God has shown us. We are compelled to contribute goodness to the goodness that God has endowed this world with. In return for God's gift to us, when God created even us and called even us good. So you who love God, you who love God's world, when you look at the heavens, the stars of the sky, if you are moved by the beauty of creation in your families or in your drive to work down Lakeshore Drive or in walking the neighborhoods in which you live, and maybe when a human artist has echoed the creativity of the divine artist in your life, when you recognize the goodness and the beauty of God's world, what are you compelled to do? Amen. Now please stand as you're able. The hymn is number 682, In Heaven Above. Thank you.
Thank you. this year, in December, he is going to be retiring. So we look forward to, and this is not the first, the last opportunity to explain to you how important you are to this church and its ministry, the whole church, and particularly to the Curran Fellowship. I won't presume to speak on your behalf, but I'm sure we'll have plenty of opportunities for us all to express our appreciations. Ask about the Curran deacons and the pastoral team are beginning to think through how to, and the church leadership are beginning to think through how to do the search for a new pastor for the Curran Fellowship. So we're going to have a couple of tracks on a couple of different trains for a little while. But I definitely don't want to miss the opportunity to celebrate this ministry, the founding of this Curran Fellowship, about 8 years ago now, right? In September. So, put it on your calendar, September, 8-year anniversary party. Oh, because it'll be extra celebration, a little bittersweet. So, God bless you, and I look forward to us all being able to express our appreciation for your ministry.
So for Pastor Rogers, many years of ministry term with us, and for transitioning as he retires at the end of the year, Lord in your mercy, hear our prayer. But any other prayer requests before we pray? Seeing none, sisters and brothers and siblings, we join you in prayer. God of our days, thank you for giving us our bodies. We know that our bodies sometimes feel like they betray us, that they get sick, or they get in a car accident, or they need surgery, or they live in a home that needs better money. Sometimes we just wish that we didn't have to deal with that. Lord, even as I pray your blessings on our bodies and our sins, I ask that you remind us with our bodies that we see the scars. It is with our fingers that we touch those we love. It is with our mouths and our noses that we smell and enjoy the taste of delicious food. And with our mouths that we speak beautiful words. It is with our ears that we hear beautiful music. Lord, it is through our bodies that we experience your grace. God, pour that grace out on this community today. Pour that grace out on the city of Chicago today. Pour that grace out on the country of America and your world that needs your touch so dearly. God, give us new life. Give us ears to hear. Give us voices to proclaim. Make us your people in this moment today, and this week to come, and this year to come, that we might stand strong, that we might be your people for a world that needs your presence. Be in our hearts, O God. Be in our minds, O God. Be in our voices. Your most holy name, I offer this prayer. Amen. I forgot one more prayer. One prayer. So prayer.
We have a few announcements we want to share today before we take our tithes and offerings. The first is just to keep in mind that at the first Sunday in August, August 6th, we will be having our annual church picnic. So take a note there in your bulletin. Each language group is asked to bring something to share. Our language group is responsible here in the English congregation for dessert. Hispanic congregation will bring fruit. The Japanese congregation will bring salad. And the Korean congregation will bring rice or noodles. And then the church itself, through the church accounts, will provide for main courses and drinks. We want to remind members of the various church ministries committees that there will be a leadership retreat the Saturday following that picnic, August 12th, 8:30 to 1:30. Please let Sherry know if you're going to be able to be there, as well as letting Sherry know what course you would like for the lunch that we will have that day. We want to continue to remind you that Wednesdays at Jerry's continues at Jerry's Sandwiches on Clark Street. A small group meets together at 6 on Wednesdays to talk about different readings or different topics in the life of faith. Sam Hartman Pickerel is the contact for that. If you would like to either ask questions or figure out what the reading is going to be that week, he has all the information. We also want to remind you that the parsonage is for rent. We are listing it with a real estate agent, but if you do know someone who might be looking for a rental property, feel free to point them in the direction of that agent whose name is listed in the bulletin. And then finally, if you could contact Barb Lehman, if you have the ability to help a little bit with work days to help spruce up both the worship spaces here and just general spaces around the church. We would love to find some volunteers to help with that. I also understand that the committee, the search committee, has an announcement. Barb, is that going to be you? If there are no more announcements, it is time for us to collect our tithes and offerings. I invite the Koran Fellowship to come forward for singing. Thank you.
dagi betul mabu. Pepasoski walum buku pesiblu sale. Hibata serto, hibata ritaba. Dido bekeh papu cobabda, utoba to yaku tab dudu balo. Doan ini papu huba, petama buku tidpa. Pekilu sayua kesuri. Dog fula balu bombu tadu tole togo. Lord Bloko, Sugi Siko, Willy Hita Thidpa, Pagathi Umu, Atolu, Jual Lagapogo, Ki, Luke Sashu Creamy Bukina Law. Amen.
Our final.
Sorry.
That's it.